Right. So, we've heard this morning about some health issues. Viv and, sorry, Bojana, is it? I didn't get your name right. Well, I recently, myself, long ago had a trip to A&E. Due to some extreme pain, the doctor told me the cancerous tumours in my lungs were putting pressure on the pleuritic layer. I don't know what that means, but anyway, they said it would only get worse, require radiation treatment to shrink them. My uncle had recently passed away from cancer. He ended up with fluid on his lungs they could do for him. So I was a bit, you know, a bit perplexed by this. I thought, is that what's happening to me? Things go through your mind. So I discussed this with my oncologist. I had a scan. It turned out to be, wasn't that at all. It was probably a gastric problem, acute gastric problem or something. But it, like I say, it did unsettle me a little bit at the time. And we've heard this morning, we all have things in life that can be difficult. Health issues, obviously we've heard that. We've got quite a few we're praying for in the church regularly. Financial problems, bereavement. We have faced many challenges, as we've said. So how do we cope with these things? As humans, we can turn to many different things to help us cope with life. Family and friends are obviously a great support, help us through. Unfortunately, there's things that we turn to in life that do us no good. Alcohol and drugs are a common means of just trying to numb the pain of life and cope with life, along with lots of other things that can harm us. Unfortunately, some people don't actually cope with life and commit suicide. We've had that in our family. It's a way out for some, but obviously a tragic event, and we don't want that. So turning to God, our Creator, is a path I chose many years ago, about 37 years ago now. And that's what I'm looking at today, Psalm 91 I'm going to be looking at. A while ago when I was having these problems, I spoke to Sue Moores and she said, read Psalm 91, which happens to be one of my favourite psalms anyway. So I thought I'll study that and have a look into it. That's what I'm looking at today. So we can get, you might not be able to see this when it comes up, but I'm reading it out anyway. It's a bit, the bulb in the projector's gone a little bit, I think. So starting off with verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. So what does that mean, dwelling? It's a place to live. It's a home. We can make it our permanent residence. We can make living in God a contrast to our experience, not coming and going to according to our constant circumstances, just dipping out with God when we need help, but make him our permanent place where we dwell. Sometimes people might have a relationship problem or something like that and think, I'll go to a new location, I'll find a new home and start afresh and that'll solve everything. But if our problems are internal, it doesn't seem to happen, does it? It doesn't seem to work. Problems face us, they follow us with us if it's not dealt with. So dwelling in God gives us stability, confidence to deal with anything under his care, with any issues can be resolved with his help. A shelter is a place that gives protection from the elements, a danger, or a threat of attack. It can be a hiding place to protect you from an enemy. It's a safe place, and we can find shelter under God's protection. The Most High describes God, which I really like this expression. It tells us no one is higher than him. So what's high in our world is Everest. People every year try to climb Everest. Many try it, actually die trying. You can't climb it in one go. You have to acclimatise your body, go up and down because the oxygen's so thin. It's usually about 4 base camps and you make a final push to the top. Most people need oxygen. You actually come into the zone where your body's dying. So you have to get up and down with haste. Fortunately, we don't have to go to the extremes to reach our Most High God. We have access to God through what Jesus accomplished on the cross, paying for our sins, reconciled us to himself. And now we have access anytime to our God, the Most High. Resting. Resting is to cease work. Sorry, I'll move my thing down. It's getting a bit poppy. We have access to God through what Jesus accomplished on the cross. Oh, yeah, sorry, I've gone next bit. Resting. So it's to cease from movement or relax, sleep or recover from strength. I found that this resting is a big key to trust God completely. It can be a permanent state of rest. Not just a temporary thing, where we come to a place where we're completely arrested in God all the time, no matter what circumstances face us, we just trust him completely. Have you found a constant place of rest in God? Or are you still restless and running around looking for a solution? I encourage you just to trust him completely, like we've said so much this morning. Just find that complete place of rest in God. So I said at the beginning, I was a bit unsettled with the doctor telling me this conclusion. I began to think about my future. Was it, well, am I nearing the end of my life? I believe my time's in God's hands, as I've told you many times. All things are in his time. I have to trust him regarding my situation, as we all do. Now, Lisa spoke recently about heaven. We'll be going to a far better place. So it's not something we should fear. Without pain, without disease and the wars and everything we experience on this earth, we should actually be looking forward to it. And the sting of death has been taken away. That was condemnation from God. When we die, that is taken away from us if we know God. We'll actually be going to paradise. Unfortunately, that sting is not taken away from loved ones that we leave behind and all those that have bereavement. It's a very difficult time. But knowing that they're in the peace and the care of God is a great comfort to us. So we can settle the issue of resting in God fully, putting our trust in his loving care, believing he is sovereign over our lives, and the time of our leaving the earth will be when he decides it's right. So the shadow, I'm still talking on verse 1 at the minute, the shadow is caused by something blocking light, our building. Here, God is causing the shadow. He's creating protection, like a shelter from the sun. His presence is watching over us and protecting us. We are in the shadow of the Almighty. Again, this description of God as Almighty means he has the power to do anything. There is nothing and no one more powerful than him. He's all powerful. So to summarize verse 1, we who live permanently under the protection of the most all-powerful God will find a place of permanent rest in the shadow of his almighty power, the one who has complete, unlimited power. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Here the psalmist is declaring that the Lord is his refuge. He's making a statement that he's looking to God and nothing else. A refuge is a place that offers protection from danger, trouble, or unhappiness. Many refugees around the world are fleeing terrible circumstances. We've seen it on the news all the time. They're seeking a better life, a safer place to live. We can make God our refuge. We are safe under his protection. A fortress is a stronghold that can be defended from attack. When we feel in a vulnerable or unsafe place, we can come to God's fortress for protection by placing our complete trust in his care, not looking at other things that will fail us. When life is difficult, it's easy to turn to something to make us feel better, sometimes to help us cope with life's circumstances, like I've already said, substance abuse, unlimited wealth or power. But these things can lead to emptiness, addiction, and actually do us more harm than good. God's protection and care offer us stability and security. Trust here is the key, trusting him completely, that he's got everything in hand. It gives us peace and stability. Being let down by people, we might find it hard to trust. When things aren't going the way we want, we're disturbed by our circumstances. We could start to wonder if we can even trust God. This leads to a place of confusion, worry, distress, unsettlement. But we must remind ourselves about God's absolute love and care for us. He knows us intimately, every part of our lives, like nobody else. He knows our every thought, our every feeling. He is a God of love and promises to never leave us or forsake us. It's an issue we must settle in our hearts once and for all, in every circumstance. Enter a place of resting in his care. He won't let you down. The fowler's snare, verse 3, sorry, I'm on sooner. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. So the fowler's snare is a trap that's used by hunters to catch an animal. There are many traps in life that we can get caught up in. Devil is always looking to try and trap us in one of his schemes. But God promised us to save us from them when we have been saved, ultimately, from hell as Christians. But we must be aware of being trapped in this life if we're not careful. It's good to know God is on our side. He's watching over us and must pay careful attention to the voice of his Spirit. The deadly pestilence means a deadly and overwhelming disease, which we've not had in the last few years with COVID. It affects the entire community, like the Black Plague, or like, say, like COVID. So about 4 years ago, I was told, when I got this new cancer diagnosis, that I was going to start chemotherapy, and the doctor said, you'll most probably die if you catch COVID, because you'll be immunosuppressed. So I had to isolate, as a lot of people did. Eventually, I did have the vaccine, and I did get COVID, and I wasn't too bad at all, actually. I mean, I know it's a serious issue. Lots of people did lose their lives, so I just thank God for his protection on that. Death will come to us all, we've already said, but the sting of death is taken away. We don't have to fear. So there's some things in life we don't know the answer to, which somebody's already said this morning. We don't know the reasons why things happen. So what we do then, we just place our trust in God's control and his care. We're out of control, like Lee said, we can't control everything. We just have to put our care into God's hands. So looking at verse 4, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. So being covered by God's feathers and finding refuge under his wings, it's an image of like a bird being protected under its wings. It's a safe place away from harm, a nurturing place. I myself have had apprentices at work. I don't know if you know, I'm a furniture maker, and I've had to take people under my wing and train them, so to teach them and learn them a trade. So I understand a little bit about that, taking people in your care. So God's faithfulness is described as a shield and a rampart. A shield is again a means of protection in a battle to stop a blow from a sword or a missile attack in a compound. A rampart is again a wall of protection. God's faithfulness is one of the lasting loyalty. He is so true to his commitments and his word. He is absolute trustworthiness and fulfills his pledges every time. So God's faithfulness is our protection. You can see there's a theme in this psalm of protection and care throughout. As parents, we try to protect our children from when they're born, through life, need our constant attention. And we know that many dangers lie. God is a parent in the same way. He sees the dangers before us. He tries to guide us onto the right path if we follow him and attentive and listen to what he has to say. He will keep us safe. Verse 5. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. So not fearing the terror of the night or the arrow that flies by day. Nighttime can be a place where our thoughts can run away with us. Our fears can overwhelm us. We can start to consider all sorts of things. It's then we must take those thoughts captive and settle ourselves knowing God is our refuge. He's our shelter, he's our fortress, his protection. We can trust in his faithfulness. If we are struck with fear, this never comes from God and can only be our enemy. He comes to rob and destroy us. But God is our peace. I'm jumping on to verse 9 now. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent. His angels, I concern you, will guard you in all your ways. So again, it talks about making our God our dwelling and our refuge. We mustn't leave the place of living in God at all times, wandering away from him when things are tough, but just trust him completely. Verse 11 talks about commanding angels to guard us in all our ways, saying they will lift us up in their hands. Now, I don't know a great deal about angels. They seem a bit of a mystery to me, but it's good to know. It gives us comfort that they are guarding us. Verse 14. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. When we love God, he will rescue us. His protection is on us because we acknowledge his name. We receive salvation by calling on the name of the Lord. It brings us into a relationship with God. Not everyone calls on the name and doesn't have that connection. It is a decision we have to make ourselves. He won't force us. But putting our complete trust and care in God and taking that step will not fail us. The name of Jesus is above all of the names in heaven and on earth. It's a strong tower. At his name, everyone will bow. The name of Jesus saves, delivers, heals, casts out demons, protects us from harm and evil. This image of being rescued can be like a lifeboat, rescuing people in distress or being stranded up a mountain. We can find ourselves in many situations where we need God to rescue us. We can be confident knowing God will come to our rescue when we call on his name. Verse 15. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honour him. When we call upon the name of God, he promises to answer us. Be with us in trouble, deliver us and honour us. Verse 16, the last one. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So long life is promised here. I've been living with terminal cancer. I have lived longer than the doctors predicted. I was given 2 years to live. I'm coming up to 4 now. But none of us know where our time is up. So a long life on this earth is uncertain for all of us. Although the doctors have said I have a terminal condition, I believe I have an eternal condition. Eternal life is promised to us as Christians, and this is my hope. This is where my hope lies. A long life on this earth doesn't always mean an easy one, but in light of eternity, it is a short time. So I was satisfied in God now on the earth. I can honestly say I am more satisfied now in my life than ever before. I have many blessings in my life, and I have found my relationship with God for the past 37 years has brought me peace, comfort, and joy in all circumstances. Satisfaction is contentment, being fulfilled, a source of enjoyment, gratification. People look to many ways in life to find satisfaction that can let you down. God is not in the business of letting us down. We often face disappointment and sadness in life. You can be satisfied in God, knowing ultimately he cares for us and will always be with us. The Rolling Stones had a song called "I Can't Get No Satisfaction," but in God we can. We go through life, we'll find he will meet all our needs. Has God shown you his salvation? Salvation usually refers to the deliverance of the soul from sin and its consequences. But in a practical sense, once we have entered into our relationship with God, we experience the result of our salvation on a daily basis. We find comfort in our troubles. When we are satisfied in God, we are seeing our salvation in action and experience it as we trust God in all things. I believe God has shown me his salvation throughout my life experience, and I've learned to trust him more. Once we have seen our salvation, experienced and understood its consequences, how can we not be satisfied in God? He saw our hopeless condition of a broken relationship with him because of our sin and rebellion, came to earth, humbled himself in the form of a man, taking the punishment we deserve and reconciling us to himself. He promises to always be with us on this earth for all eternity. So I want to encourage you to live in God permanently, not running away, but living in his protection and his care, entering his refuge, his fortress, staying under his wings, living in the shadow, and find a permanent rest for your soul. That's it. Thank you.
That was fantastic. There's been a bit of a theme this morning, hasn't there? You know, I had no idea what Alex was speaking on this morning. In fact, I've prayed this morning for Matt to bring a good message. But God knows. He knew what he wanted to say this morning to each and every one of us. He knew that we need to start putting our focus on God. You know, we will all face many battles in life. You know, we're not exempt just because we're Christians. But in God, we can overcome everything. So.